The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Can we say amen?
Messy heaven.
Amen.
For there is a mercy flowing from heaven. Opening up doors. Into heavens. Many heavens. Many dominions in heavens.
Amen.
That must be spoken of.
Amen.
That must be declared.
Amen.
That must be preached. Mercy is opening dimensions, even realms of dominions in heaven, to bring many to those dominions and to establish them in their dominions. For this is the time, this is a set time for that which has been prophesied, even of old, to come to pass, and it must be preached. So we have come to help you, to enhance you, to grant unto you capacity. Capacity to bring forth the order of the heavenlies, to bring forth after the order of the heavenlies, to open, to walk in that which has been opened in the heavens. For you see, many doors have been opened. Many doors have been opened. Walk in them. Oh, minister from there. Bring forth substances from there, because the angel is here to help you. He's standing even beside you to help you, to aid you, to grant unto you enablement to bring forth substances for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You are not alone. You have been helped. You've been helped by the Spirit, and our angel is here even to help you further, to grant unto you access, many skills to bring forth substances of heavenlies, even to my people, for my people to come into. You have been empowered for this ministration. You've been empowered already, even for this ministration. Hear the Spirit.
Can we say amen to that? Hallelujah. Let's see the book of Genesis chapter 1. When I saw the team, the morning star, I knew that God's servant wanted us to see everlasting life. He wanted us to see the star of the morning in the dimension of everlasting life. I knew that's what was imprinted in my spirit. Okay, and I like the word star. Can we say star?
Star?
Now, God, like we see in Genesis, let me read from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 14. That's the Chronicles of Creation from the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. I like the word signs, seasons, days, and for years. So stars have a way of opening forth seasons upon the earth. Stars are governmental expressions of God for opening of seasons. Now, the interesting thing about it is that when God put stars in creation, stars were a prophecy of sonship. Stars are prophecies of sonship. What God had in mind is that as he put stars in creation, they were supposed to represent model for sonship in God. Can we say amen? Amen. And when I mean sonship, I mean giving expression to God. Archiving of the life of God being domiciled in men. Okay, so when God put stars in creation, it was not just for the purpose of opening time, seasons, and years, which is true, but there stood there as a shadow of what exists in the thought of God concerning men. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the reason why the morning star exists is because God has mind to make many morning stars. God wants to bring many into the world of the morning. Can we say amen?
Amen.
There's a desire in the heart of God to raise stars of the morning. Can we say stars of the morning? Now look at verse 15. It says, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. That light is not just light shining. It is actually to rule or to influence the earth, to influence the course of the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day. I like the word rule. I want you to note that word because we'll get to it at a point. And the lesser lights to rule the night. So he made the stars also. Actually, when I checked science, we know the moon is a kind of star. Okay? But that's from scripture. But science will say a moon is more of an arbitrary planet. They don't agree that it's a star. But, you know, we derive doctrine from the scripture. Can we say amen?
Yes.
Before I prove that from scripture. So, moon, sun, and stars, they are expression of stars and the expression of lights. What did I say? Moon, sun, and stars, they are expression of what? Lights. Or we can call them expressions of glories. So the morning star is a wand of the glory of God. Can we say amen? The glory of God that is everlasting. Now, glory is more than light. What did I say glory is? Because glory is for reigning. The purpose of glory is for reigning. Now, glory is more than light. Glory has light. But glory has more than light. Amen. Glory is government. Or we can say glory is a throne. What Reverend Buzi was teaching when I stepped in, I just connected. Okay? When you are seeing lights here, lights at times, they can use light generically. But light is beyond just shining. Light is to emit the glory of a throne, the understanding of a life. I think it was last year in Amnesis, I was teaching about God is light, God is life. And I said that the purpose of light is to give life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, what life is the weaving of God's nature, the weaving of God's laws, the weaving of God's, you know, God's dominion. Life is dominion. What did I say life is?
Life is dominion.
What did I say life is?
Life is dominion.
So if life is dominion, you cannot access life without the auspices of light being sent to educate you to bring into the world of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I'm just showing you that stars are glories. That's what I'm saying. What did I say stars are?
Stars.
Now let's quickly jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Can we start from verse 39? All flesh is not the same. Actually, you know, Paul is very deep. Now, Paul is not talking just about the body. He's talking about the body, but he's talking beyond the body. Paul is talking about glories. Or Paul is talking about classification of dominions. So what we see in 1 Corinthians 15 is the classification of dominions. That Paul was just using it, the body, to explain how dominion we find expression. Actually, the body is supposed to emit dominion. That's what the body is for. Dominion is supposed to find its final entrance through the body. So it is what your soul has been clothed in that your body will express. So when you read 1 Corinthians 15, read beyond the body. Read in the spirit that Paul is talking about dominions. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Am I right, sirs? Uh-huh. So all flesh is not the same. But there is one, what kind of flesh of man, another of flesh of beast, another flesh of fishes, another of birds. He's talking about the classification of dominions. And when I mean dominion, I mean life. What did I say dominion is? So Paul is classifying life. Take me back. That we have different kind of life. You have the life of men. You have the life of beasts. You have the life of fishes. You have the life of birds. And every life has its reign. What did I say every life has? Oh, you are not with me. What did I say every life has? So, now look at what Elan said in verse 40. It says, there is also celestial bodies. Okay, now, celestial bodies are supposed to be an encasement of a celestial life. The only reason the body exists is to give expression to a life. So if there's no life, you don't need a body. Am I right, sir?
Yes, sir.
So when Paul is talking about celestial body, it means that in the realm of the celestial, there is life classification. In biology, they call it taxonomy. God put kingdom in several classifications of life and dominion. So, there are celestial dominions that bodies only give expression to. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
So, there are also celestial bodies. And bodies terrestrial. So, this is just opening up the realm of life. This is Paul. And describing the architecture of life from the earth to the heavens. But the glory of the celestial is one. And the glory of the terrestrial what is another. So what they are letting you know is that life is in degrees of strength. What did I say life is? Life is in degree of strength. It means reign is in degree of strength. Or glories are in degrees of strength. Glories are not the same. Life is not the same. And all of you say, you people, you know, amen. You know, hallelujah. Some of us, we fight battles of Reverend K and Reverend Busui because we are their sons. Okay? Why are you dividing life? Life is life. I won't lie to you. Amen. You know, when some of these fathers began to teach teen, one of the things that God did to me concerning everlasting life, eternal life, was that I had so many witnesses of scripture. I saw alignment of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. I didn't see any angel. I didn't see any vision. I didn't have any encounter. I saw scriptures. Too much alignment. Giving witness. I don't think there's any message that casts witness of scripture as much as this message. It's too much. It is too much. So, everybody say, life is not life.
Life is
not
life.
Not all the life are the same. Paul says, not all flesh are the same. Not all life are the same. So, you need to understand. When you move into the realm of the spirit, you cannot generalize things. You begin to see classification of life. That is what creation teaches us. So, when you move into the realm of the earth, you see classification of life. That's what biology is about. If you did biology, thank God our daddy here is an erudite in that realm. You see all kind of classifications of life, from life you can see to the ones you cannot see. What they call is in microscopic life. And every life has its own dominion. So for you to now say life on the earth is the same, you are making a mistake. There's something called classification of life. Are you with me? So if life, and that's why even glories differ. Now when it even comes to, you know, because any course you study, there's a glory attached to it. And I know that all courses don't have the same glory. That's why you see that at times, those that study human body have more glory. The reason is because man, when it comes to classification of life on the earth, man has a higher life texture than an animal. So when you go far in studying human body, the glory that will be attached to it will be higher than someone that studied cow or studied mosquito. Are you hear what I'm talking about? Because there is much more glory attached to the life of man. So not all life are the same. Life are in phases or classifications. And it is the wisdom of God. Can we say amen? Amen? So even in God, God has classification of life. Not all lives are life in God. God has life in several. And you know the very interesting thing, sir? It is well layered. It is not a mixture. Like in God, you cannot mix everlasting and eternal. It's not a mixture. It is an arranged system of life. Very arranged. When you look at it, if you can break through into the laws of God, you see those laws properly arranged. Well rested on each other. Layer on layer. Well built. How many of you know that God is a building? God is a building. And God is a well-structured building. Now, why I know that God is a building is how God gives attention to building. A lot of people say, why do you have to teach it this way? It's not, you know, I say, love is not love. Faith is not faith. Hope is not hope. Hope differ from hope. Hope for healing is even from hope of Christ. Hope of Christ is different from hope of everlasting life. So hope is not the same. So why are you always doing it? It's because of the way it is in God. The way it is in God. In God, you can almost, every strand of life in God has clear definition. When you are moving into the world of studying God, you will understand how detailed God is. How detailed the systems of life of God are. There's no mixture in God. And that's why anytime God gives instructions of building on earth, he has never generalized. I checked from scripture, Pastor Tosisa. Right from the first building that we see, even though it's an ark, but it was a building, God gave specifications. All through, you see, dimensions. When God, when the ark, God gave, you say a God in heaven, say 2.5 cubits. It's not, why did he not approximate to 3? 2.5. Everybody say 2.5. It means that is how it is in God. It is 2.5. So I say, okay, it's not about the knowledge, it's about the life. No, you know what God told me? He said, without knowledge, you can't break into life. So we have to get knowledge well. It is because life is more detailed and arranged. Knowledge is supposed to bring us into life. When you come into life, you come into clarity. You come into exactness. So there are also celestial bodies. So it means there are celestial lights or there are celestial glories. Like Reverend Bishop said, he said there are thrones. So every life has its throne. And you can see it also in natural. You know, we have different kind of Oba. And all of them have thrones. And their thrones are not the same. And all those Obas know that they are not the same age mates. They say there are 5 or 6 major Obas in Nigeria. Maybe, you know, one in the north. Only of if I know is one. I think the Oba in Benin is one. Am I right? So if you are Oba Irekusa, you know. When certain obas are talking, you know you cannot talk. You now say, Oba na lemi, Oba bolie. So Oba unshoba. Oba very. Oba joba lo. Ever say life to life lo. Ever say rain to rain lo. Ever say glory to glory lo. So, amen. I can't hear your amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you know this kind of thing, don't you want to know it more? I don't know why people just like the. Why you say? Because everlasting life and eternal life are different. In fact, the way the Lord told me, he says they have their different seeds. So that's why it's clear there's a seed of eternal life. There's a seed of eternal life. It has its own seed. It's had its own unique seed. All these things. So we are in that era of what clarity. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen. There's no way any Greek man can know the difference. Greek. You are depending on Greek to teach you God. It's not possible. They will have their expiring hand. So when they get to a point, you by year one, they match things together. Omar Daru. The closest people are the Jews. Some of those Jews, they had angelic help. Jews had angelic help to be able to pen down all those things Moses penned down. You need help to pen them down. Because the New Testament was fetched out of what? The Law and the Prophets. God had to make sure that it was not Grecian mind that actually downloaded those ones. And because that one has to be properly installed before the governments of the head changed. And all the apostles of the New Testament, they had to fetch wisdom from the prophets. Those prophets are not ordinary people. They were sons of men. They were men of the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So take me back. So I just want to show you life. And lights. So there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. They're just showing you the stratification of life. And if there's a stratification of life, they're showing you stratification of glories. Now, this is where I'm going. There is one glory of the sun. Now, this is a star. The sun is a star. Now, what is a star? A star is an entity of government or glory. When you see stars, they emit. You know, the whole planet Earth is being sustained by one star. Because the sun is a star. And planets revolve around it, meaning that they derive sustenance from a star. So a star keeps life. I don't know how can I be. Life revolves around one star. You now see what God wants to make men. Because the world to come is a world of stars. So the sun is a star, but it has a glory. And it has government upon the hemisphere of the planets around it. All the planets that revolve around the sun, they receive their government from the sun. The sun does not just give them light. The sun gives them light. The sun also gives them sustainability. The sun is a throne for what? Those nine planets. I don't know if it's beyond nine. But all the planets that revolve around the sun is their throne. It's their source of life and preservation. If you take away their star, they will disappear. So a star is a world. It is possible to enter inside the sun. You can't enter into it. But you know that it's a world. There are things inside that sun that is holding planets. So there is one glory of the sun. You can see One, I like the way they say there's one. Inside the one glory of the sun, there are glories. One, I like one glory. It's just classifying the sun. But the sun itself is a wall. It's a ball of fire. The sun itself is a wall. When you move into that wall, there are also stratification of laws. If there's a way of studying the sun, only God knows what will be inside. It's just that, you know, you can't get too close. The sun is not really nice. The closer you get, the hotter it is. So if you want to get PhD of sonotology, you may not be able to tell the story. So they studied from afar. You study stars from afar. There is no machine that human has built that has been able to get us close to these stars. That is how they are far from, you know, from our world. They are elevated in this dimension. So there's one glory of the sun. Now, God is teaching us his world through this. You know, the present is a shadow of the world to come. So everything in the present is just installation for us to understand the coming world. Can we say amen? So there's one glory of the sun. There's another of the moon. So the moon has glory. Even though its glory is derived from the sun. Science does not agree that the moon is a star. But as long as the moon has a glory, it means the moon has a measure of stardom. Even though it derives it from the sun. The moon is a type of Christ light. Am I right? So the moon is a type of Christ. The sun is a type of the Father's light. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, and another glory of stars. Look at that. It's a plurality. So stars in their different tronic dimensions. And all this, like I said, sun, moon, and stars, they are all prophecy of sons of God. When you see stars, you are seeing what God wants to make man. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the world has polluted this thing. You say, you're a star, you're a star. Stardom. Have you ever seen a star that reigned for 30 years in any industry? No. In fact, we have lesser stars today. All these musician stars, they don't last anymore. So they reign for a season and they go. They're just showing us that really the strength of a star is that they have the ability to reign. What is their reign? They can't put influence on men for years. At times when somebody is a star, you'll be wondering at times, what song is he singing? He said, oh, let me go for Gunsenuni. Now, they're not showing you that stars have government. They have laws that they wield to put people under their reign. Stars are entities of reign. Am I making any sense? What did I say stars are? The world is under a falling star. What stars do? It was a star from the highest world in the present. So, and what those stars do is that they roll out curses. When I checked it, they say stars. Some stars are bigger than planets. This whole planet. More massive. That's how big. So a star is a world. And inside world, there are curses. So Satan is a falling star that has brought the earth under lies and curses. A star can give you work to do. At times, you respond to a star, not because you like it, but because you cannot help it. Why? Because a throne is at work. Government is at work. An influence is at work. Even as a Christian, there are some songs you say, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. You will be singing it. Am I lying? I'm not lying. No, me, I don't lie. Me, I don't lie. That's something I don't do. Amen. You know, there was this guy that came out one time, Oluwashino. How many of you remember Oluwashino? Shino Peters. I think it was early 90s. Those were the time I was in secondary school. Everywhere, everybody was Shino. So even some Christians, they used to sing Shino in their hearts. You just wake up in the morning, you want to worship God. You want to worship God, you sing small Shino. You know what I'm talking about? You say, in the name of Jesus. Then you go and play your domoen. You remember that you're a Christian. Meanwhile, this tie is already at work. It's an influence. It's an influence beyond your reasoning. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So like I said, stars. So, you know, the interesting thing is that we have a star. Yeah? We have a star, listen to me, that is a star maker. He is a star maker. He has the ability to raise you as a star. Jesus is reigning. Can we say amen? Amen. Jesus reigned on the head as an everlasting star. And he has moved into his eternal star reigning. He is an eternal star right now. He's a glorified son reigning in eternal life. But while he was on the earth, he reigned in several degrees of everlasting glories. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And those things are laid up for us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's the glory of the sun, there's the glory of the moon, and there's the glory of stars. For one star different, that's where I'm going. One star different from what? Another star in glory. So, sir. Sir, daddy, when you move into the world of stars, you can't mix them up. Now, when you see stars from the earth, you don't see difference. Am I right? Except you study astrology. I don't know what they call stargazers. But you just know, but they all look like the same. They all look like the same. But when you enter into their world, how did Paul know these things? This guy did study astrology. You can see. So when you know God, you understand creation. Automatically. The light of God, listen to this. The everlasting light of God is superior to creation. The everlasting God is the creator. So it means it's light. I'm not even talking about the eternal God. The eternal God condescended into his everlasting form. So creation is beneath the everlasting God. So it means the light of the everlasting God. Once you have everlasting light, automatically you can understand creation. You know, you could see the way Reverend was teaching today. He was teaching from everlasting light. That was a very high intelligence. You know, he's using a light. Once you have that light, you can interpret creation very well. That is why all the apostles. You can see the apostles, they did not have advanced vocation on the earth. They were fishermen. You know, how will a fisherman have so much knowledge? Peter was talking in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says the earth standing out of water and in water. How did he know? Everybody say everlasting light. That's an erudite of God. There's no way he will not understand creation. He will understand creation. He will understand the creation from the heavens to the earth. He will be able to properly put creation in its proper perspective. Because of light. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So star different in glory. So you can see glories are not the same. And each glory has its own light. That's where I'm going. What did I say?
Glory has its own light.
Glory is a life that has its light. So you can have light and not yet come into life. Life is the ending curriculum of life. Now, of course, we know that all these things, there's a natural dimension to that. Okay? University is to give light for life. When you are in school, they want to give you light first. Why do you need that light? It's because you need a life. So at the end of schooling, you have life. That's how the Lord taught me. So all professions are some kind of life. I'm not saying they are real life. I'm saying there's some kind of life. Eh? It's a life. A doctor, as when you become a doctor, you have a kind of an engineer life. Eh? So what you really need life for is for living. That's where I'm going. Oh, you didn't hear that. When we say raining is living. When you think of raining, don't think of something that you will be very high up there. No, raining is just demonstrating life. Once you have life, once you come into having life, life automatically is a dominion. You will start reigning. Once you have life, I don't know how life is. Life just teaches you how to reign. So you say, how do I reign? Have life. Thank you, sir. It's like asking an eagle, how do you fly? Of course, we cannot break that down into the school of the light of the eagle. And then now there's a curriculum of how to fly. But you see, the issue is that for the eagle, inside him is a law that he just knows how to fly. He cannot describe it, but the nature informs the characteristics. That's how life is. When you come into life that is everlasting, that life is inherent in it is reigning. Can we say amen? Now, in Genesis, they put it as rule. He says, God put lights in the firmament to rule. I like the word rule the night and to rule the day. So, inherent in life is that ability to cast influence. Can we say amen? Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? So, when you say a star is a reigning light. Or a star is a reigning life. It's life that has come into his reign. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Take me to John 1. John chapter 1. Are we all here?
Yes,
so now let me also strengthen one thing. Then I'll go on. This present evil world is a matrix of a falling star that has brought mankind under an influence where we are pursuing causes of the star. So stars have things in them that can determine days, determine years. So a star can put influence on you for years. That is what God said in Genesis. He says there are for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. So, a star can cast influence of a life that determines years on the earth. So, the earth is under the years of a falling star. You know, it will take a star to deliver you out of the years of another star. To deliver you out of the years, what I mean the years, that they have determined life for you, cause. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see John 1, okay? Let's see John 1. So all the inheritances and the mysteries of the kingdom, they are all promises in light. So I understand that everlasting life is also a promise. You know, we talk about the promise of eternal life. Yes, it is. Eternal life is a promise of promises. There are promises in everlasting life. I think there's a scripture like that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The promises of God in him. Look at that. The promises of God in him are yea. Look at that. The promises of God in him are yea. So that yea is a world. There is a world of yea. What did I say there is? For all the promises of God, these are everlasting promises. All of the promises of God. In him are yea. So when you move into God, there are promises in classifications. Now I'm not talking about promises. I'm talking about promises of God that are everlasting. And then inside that, there's a classification of promises that are yea. Can we say amen? Those are first promises of God. We are works of God. So we have first works, we have last works. There are classifications. You see those first works? They are world of realities in God. So it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. So in God, there is a yea man. If you can handle and wield those promises, you will be a yea man. Can we say amen? Because the purposes of promises of God that are light and life is for man to bear witness to them. That's all. Man is supposed to be a bearer of the promises of God, or a witness to the promises of God. Those things are real in God, but God wants it to be real in man. Can we say amen? Like the morning star is real. It is a dimension of reality that our Lord Jesus is. Jesus is the morning star. Now, but Jesus wants men to bear witness to the morning star. Can we say amen? So the promises must be real in us. For all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him are amen. So these are men. They are men that have come into the promise of God. Then you now see comma. It now says, unto what? The glory of God by us. So I believe that everlasting promises are leverage empowerment to come into what? The eternal promise. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? Now let's go to Genesis 1. So we can see God is opening up the world of life and light to us. Because you cannot understand life without light. I think I heard God's sermon teach it. Briefly, I think it was on Tuesday, you were talking around it. I was able to stream about 30 minutes. You cannot understand life without light. What did I say? Light is the school for life. And God designed light for the purpose of giving life. So without light, I cannot handle life. And without life, I cannot reign. Now, listen to this. Are you with me? As powerful as light is, you don't reign with light. Light is not for reigning. Light is for training. Or for work. Thank you. I just use that training. Light is to train you. So you can't, when you have light, you can't start reigning. That's not the purpose of having light. Light is to teach you a dominion. Or is to give you a dominion. This is the way the Lord described it for me. He says, God is light. You know, John began saying, God is light. When you look at the epistle of John from chapter 1 to 5, it began with God is light. Then he gradually began to talk about life. But he began with light. Because you cannot know life. Life is nature and dominion. What did I say light is? So we have the nature and dominion of the true God. Amen. Everybody said the true God. Of course, we know that the Father is what? Is the true God. Is the living and true God. That's the dominion of the Father. Meaning, when you are coming into the dominion of the Father, the first seasons of light is you understand the light in the Father as a living light. Though the church in Peter, they were appearing to them as what? As a living stone unto that church. Most of those churches were churches that had become Zion, that were now breaking into the dawn of God. They were coming into the morning of God. So, in the era of the Father, can we say amen? Amen. The Father's light is the true light. Can we say amen? It is, you know, the nature of the life is that there's a beginning of that light. When you are beginning that light, you begin to live before him. The purpose of that life is to start gaining acquaintance with the world of the Father. If there's a way we can call that, we can call it living light. It is the light that teaches now to begin to live in the terrain of the Father. Because when you are crossing from Christ into the world of the Father, when you enter into the world of the Father, you know you're in a different world. Just like amen. I don't know When you moved from secondary school to university, was it the same? It's a different terrain. So that's why when you transit from the world of Christ into the world of the Father, you become a babe. You are born again. Everybody say born again. The born again message is not once. You keep getting born. Like I say, when you left secondary school and you did JAMB and post UME and you did WAEC, the purpose of all those things, they are lights to bat you into a new experience altogether. When you entered university, you become a baby. You're a baby. So in university, they call you fresher. Fresho. Fresher. But meanwhile, in secondary school, at SS3, you were a father. You are a father. Someone in SS3 is a father. Oh, I remember the time while I was in secondary school. Okay. I think we still met SS2. It was around the time they were transitioning from 5 to SS2. The seniors I met in school. Oh. It's like, I don't know. Maybe things change. They were like grown men. In those days, if they call you as a junior to come and work, they don't call you twice. They don't even call your name. They just ease. They're not born you well. If some of those seniors, they used to toast some teachers that are young. Yes, that's how old they were. Yes. By the time my own set, you know, why by the time we started becoming SST, we were young boys. The era of fathers had gone. Amen. So, amen. I'm just trying to show you that in the realm of Christ, a charity man is a father in the dominion of Christ. He's the greatest of men in that dominion. He has a life that is higher, is the highest life in that dominion. Faith is a life. Hope is a life. Charity is the greatest life of that dominion. So there is a dominion of Christ. In that dominion, there are many dominions. And to those dominions, there is a light to it. So when you are moving in the Christ curriculum, there are also advanced lights. That's why when we are coming into charity, the light became more clearer. Because you are coming into the fineness of the light of Christ. Why? Because they want to give the life of that dominion. So when you come into the dominion, the greatest of the dominion of a realm, you become a father. A father is the greatest wielder of the authority of a dominion. Can we say amen? Amen. I don't know if I'm making any sense. So, this is Reverend Busui's, toy. So when you are now crossing from Christ's dominion into the dominion of the Father, by the time you land in the dominion of the Father, you enter into a new world. You know, it's just like when you leave Nigeria, you enter UK. You can't say it's the same place. As you enter airport, you see the difference. When I came from UK to Nigeria, airport was hot. By the time I enter UK, I see, the first time I traveled through Qatar. When I saw their airport, I said, their airport was like a city. For moving from one port to another port, you need shuttle. Nigeria airport, you can use your leg to pray. I was just walking, wow. So when you move from Christ's dominion into the world of the Father, you come into a new sense, a new atmosphere. So the first light you meet the Father as he will introduce you into the first season of his light. It's called living light. That light is just to get you gradually familiar. The Father is a true God. That is who he is. Yes, sir. When I say something is true, it's authentic. It has the characteristics that does not fail. It does not change. It does not fade. It does not diminish in quantity. So, but you will meet him first. He's the same father, but you will meet him first in a more, in a more tender dimension. Ah, God is so wise. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Believe me, even before you meet the living God, because the Father is both the living and true God. He's one God that has two expressions in him. Bearing in mind that this same Father is the eternal God. The Father and God are not two different people. He's one person. So you now understand the worlds that are in God. Personalities are worlds. A world is a person. So God has many persons in him. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Just shows you the vastness of God. So the living light is supposed to, even before you come into the living light, you first take milk. The Father has a milk. Can we say amen? In fact, the way the Lord plains it to me is that you come into that light first. You will drink the milk into the meal. They don't introduce him immediately into the Father's meal. Like that. You will first take milk. Then the milk will now begin to coagulate. It now becomes solidified. Because the Father begins to walk from you from the sanctuary. Can we say amen? Yes. Am I helping some people?
Yes,
he begins to walk from the veil. The veil of the holy place. Who you see there is the inscription of the Father. He is before and after. So the wisdom of the Father is already at play from before the veil. What we call that altar of incense. He starts walking and in the capacity to bring you into the world of God. And in that, the Father begins to, you know, you begin to taste his milk. So even though you're a Christ in the sanctuary, but you already start taking the milk of the Father. It's called incorruptible milk. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So that milk has ability to transit you. It is a pool. It has the effect to move a Christ soul into the dominion of the Father. Can we say amen? So as you move into the world of the Father, the meal now begins to get thickened. So you meet him first as the living God. So, and that God has his own light. What did I say the living God has? Because when I began to read John, I began to find out that you can have some kind of life. And then you not have some kind of life. Some of the churches in John, they had life of everlasting life. They had life. They didn't just have light. They have some life. But they have not come into all the life. They have not come into all the life. So John will say, I have come to write you these things that your joy may be full. It means they had joy before. Joy is life. They had a measure of life. But that life was not complete. They will not have been able to come into the complete spectrum of the life of dominion or the reign of the Father. John had things he must communicate to them as understanding. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So, the Father is both the living and true God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And each of these has lights that become what? Life. So if you have the living life, it means that there is a light that teaches you that life. And that a time will come where you're already living within that spectrum of life. And then later, then you now mature into the light of the Father. The original life of the Father is a true life. He is the true God. Meaning, the purpose of that life is to establish you as a authentic, settled man in everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
When they say you are true, it means that you are established.
Yeah,
Peter called it abiding. To abide means that you go no more out. We see that there was a church that, well, I think that's church in Philadelphia. You go no more out means that you have inscribed, the Father has inscribed his nature fully in you. You are finished his works. Can we say amen? Then you have been crowned. Because the Father's seal, amen. The Father's seal is a crown of those that have what? Completed the curriculum of his life, of his learning. When you do his works, and they work out his works in you, they will seal it with what? With his life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oftentimes, a star is a crown of a life. You know, we see that common with, with minerals. You know, all those minerals, they have crowns. And if you like those crowns, they look like stars. They are shaped as stars. So when you see a star is a crowning of a life. Anytime a star is in place, it means there is a life. A star is a pointing that there is a life somewhere. That the life has been fully formed. Can we say amen? The star caps the life. Hallelujah. So the woman clothed with stars in the book of Revelation, we now know that the child in the womb has finished works. That's the child was reigning. Because the external things that you see is because of the child inside. Just like when you are pregnant as a woman, all of your manifestation is because of the baby inside. The day the baby leaves, you come back to normal. So those 12 stars are the crowns that had, is the crowns of the child that was inside the womb. So, amen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So the purpose of star, when you see a star in place, it means that it's a crown of a life. So it means that light has been received fully. Light has become life. And a crown. I must walk. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can walk. I like the word, the night cometh. So as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So the purpose of light is to do work.
Amen.
What did I say the purpose of light?
Light.
I'm going somewhere. What did I say is the purpose of light? Now, the purpose of walk is to give life. Oh, it's to have life. Walks give life. So light is for walks. Light interprets walk. So without light, you can't have nothing to do. That's why we need light. What did I say without light? There's nothing to do. It's light that brings walk into our sight. So when there's no light, there's nothing to do. And when there's nothing to do, there is no dominion at the end. So you can see, it is light walks life. What did I say? Come on, let's say that one more time. Let's say it one more time. So light interprets works. When works are done, you come into life. If you don't finish works, you will not be fully formed. So it's possible to have life that is not fully what? Formed. That one is fearful. When you read some of those churches, like remember, see, we have to go back to the ministry of the seven churches. Again. Because when you see what teacher, I said, I always know that we don't know this thing completely. For a while, I stayed off the book of Revelation. For a while, I deliberately did so. I'd entered it before at several times with Christ's light. And when you enter the book of Revelation with Christ's light, you make fully of yourself. you know, I've taught it before. You have followed me. With what we know now, I just thought, wow. What were we teaching then? Meanwhile, of course, it was a blessing. I'm not saying it's error. It's not error. There was a time I did about 14 weeks on the ministry of the seven churches. Week after week, we were teaching it and it was opening. But later on, when everlasting light started shining more, I just left the book. I know that there's something. So we went back. I went back to John and the epistles of John. That's where I am. This year, when this year opened, the Lord says, stay on Peter. So when the Lord says, stay on Peter, I thought that Peter was a easy book to read. I will move to chapter 1, get to 2, I'll get stuck. I won't go beyond that chapter 2 and be wondering, what is this? Until Daddy came, we have to go and bring help. Come and help us, sir. There's something about this incorruptible seed that we don't know. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So God is helping us in this season. Hallelujah. So the purpose of light is for work. The purpose of work is for life. Now let's go back to John 1. Okay, I'll touch a little bit then. I'll end for today. Have we learned anything?
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. Because I want us to trace light and life. And there's no way we can do that. We have to go back to John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So this is describing the personality of the Word. The personality of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with. I like to ever say with God. Say it again. Say with God. So you can't be with God except you have the same life that is in God. To be with is not like I am joining with. When I say you are with somebody, it means you have the same reign. And that's why at times you try to join with some people, you know that you don't match their level. It's humility for you to know somebody that is your Egmont. Because anytime you're around the person, you know that the person has a life that is always towering over yours. It means you are not in the same class. You are not with that person. To be with somebody means that you have the same life, the same quality of life. Hallelujah. So the Word was in the same class with God. That's what it means. It means the same life in God was in the Word. They were in the same fellowship. And that's another thing for light. Light is what creates fellowship for life. So they will first give you light. Light will create fellowship. Fellowship, it is inside fellowship they give life. They don't give us life outside fellowship. In this order, fellowship is very important. If when you leave fellowship, it's a sign that you have lost life. Light always hedges you in. I keep telling them in our church, I said, inheritance is always given among. If you live among, go near Isa. All of the New Testament epistles, they were taught in a corporate context. They were taught to individuals, but the context is corporate. Yes. So you can't get everlasting life outside a people. Yes. In fact, sir, when I check the word star, in the Hebrew word, there are two words. There's shakar. You know that. There's another one called kobab. It's one of the things it means is, it means brothers. Guys in your culture, there's still things that is our own. Yes. As in brotherhood of the stars, Iron Lassa. So they mean that you can a star does not stand alone. They bind stars together. There's a bond, there's a government, there is a binding of stars. So when you're a star, you have stars. That's why you see 12 stars. It's not just one, there is a conglomerate of stars. They are showing you that you cannot be a star without stars. In this order, you reign with your brothers. Oh, nobody's saying amen. Amen. You cannot have everlasting life outside the fellowship of brethren. The context is brotherhood. Never forget that. That is why the proof of life is love. The proof of life is not anything but love. You are meek enough to stay in fellowship. That's how I know. I know I have life. I'm meek enough to keep fellowship with Pastor Thompson. If I need to go down, I will do that. Because the priority is that we are together. So, and it's a proof of life. How you know that you have life? The only litmus test is love. Hallelujah. So the Word was in the same class with God. That's what I said. So the same quality of life that was in the Word was in God. So they were with, and the Word was God. The Word was God. So why is the Word God? So the Word and God are separate personalities. Can we say amen? But they have the same life. So one life can be 1,000 people. A lot of people have stumbled at this place. The saying is one God manifesting in three different forms. Amen. What makes us one? I'm describing the nature of stars. Is that we have the same quality of rain. Now, Pastor Pax, if we have the same quality of rain, it means we have the same quality of what? Of life. So the same quality of life was in the Word and God. Can we say amen? Amen. So there is an origin of life. The Godhead is the origin of life. What did I say is the origin of light? Oh, say it one more time. You see, that world is an exclusive world that it's only three that are original custodians of that life. Meaning that you cannot have that life except you are one of the three. You can't have that life. The life is originally patent to the three. I want to show you where creation comes in and the concept of stars. The life is originally patented to the three, meaning that they are the original custodians of that life. Now, the reason why creation came in place is God wanted to share life. God wouldn't have entered into creation. The business of creation is the business of sonship. Share life means I want to birth sons. I want to give birth. So creation comes into the picture because the eternal God wants to share life with man that is creation. Because man is created. Believe me. Can we say amen? God wants to introduce himself into creation. Naturally, you can't find them in this world. It is only a world. When I say it's a world, you know, there is only three that are fellowship in that world. You see, three of us can be in a kind of life that nobody knows except three of us. Meaning people will be around us, they won't know. It's closed. It's closed. You know that kind of thing exists to a degree in marriage. There is a kind of fellowship I have with my wife. That you are leaving my house, you don't know it. You are seeing us. You are seeing us. We talk to you, but we don't talk that life. Oh, this thing. We are talking to you. We are joking with you. We are sharing things with you, but we don't share that life. We don't share that fellowship because there is a law that keeps that fellowship. If you are not part of us, you can't access it. So the three, the life they have is thrived only in that fellowship. Because God wanted to grant man entrance into that life, God decided to go into creation. So by nature, creation is beneath God. Creation is beneath God. The purpose of creation is to give room to cause man to share of the inheritance of that life. So let's go back to John 1. Can we say amen? Amen? The same was with God in the beginning, okay? Can we say amen? Amen. All things were made. Everybody say all things were made. Come on, say it. Oh. Now, when you see the word made, it means that God has condescended from an eternal estate, because the eternal estate of God is the life that is above creation, far above creation. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. When God is in eternal life, you don't need eternal life to create. What did I say you don't need eternal life for? God doesn't use that life. That's why I said there are lives in God. When it comes to eternal life, hallelujah. That life is not for creation. So for God to create, God had to condescend into the everlasting forms. Now listen to this. Everybody say everlasting forms. Oh, I need you to follow me. Say everlasting forms. Now, what is everlasting form? Everlasting form is an expression of God that creation can relate to. Let me say that again. I'm going somewhere. What I said, the everlasting form is an expression of God that creation can relate to. So it means God has what? Condescended to a point where creation can what? Access him. Can we say amen to that? That is powerful. So all things were created by him. So before God even started creation, that's why I now know that everything, Pastor Tosin, will meet in eternal life, will first meet in everlasting life. That's why Reverend Busui, he was so accurate, he said, we will reign first. You will know everlasting thrones. They are not the same with eternal thrones. You will know the difference. But when you have reigned with everlasting thrones, by the time you move into eternal, you will have had the sense of reigning. So everlasting life itself is also preparation for eternal life. So every expression of God in the everlasting domain has its original raw state in eternal life. So all things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Can we say amen? Amen. I like what ever say all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I like the word without him. Now look at verse 4. It now says, in him was what? Life. And the life was what? The light of men. Okay? So there is eternal life, there is everlasting life. There is everlasting life that men can understand. But it comes to men first as light. Eh? In him was life. And that life was the light of men. So, everybody say, the original light of men is everlasting light. Let's say that again. That's the original. When you say men, man was created first to understand the everlasting God. He was framed to understand him. And the purpose of that was that the everlasting God is a father of the eternal God. When I mean a father, the fatherhood of God breaks out of the eternalness of God for the purpose of nurturing men and grooming them into sonship. So that sons of God that have been raised with life everlasting can now partake of what? The promise of eternal life. Can we say amen? Amen. And all of it, they have administration of what? Of lights. And if they have administration of lights, they have stars. So, Pastor Tom said, the end of light is to be a star. Light will give you works. Works will give you life. Life will be crowned what? With a star. Glory to God. Oh, you're not excited. Can we say amen? Amen? So in him was life, and what? The life was the light of man. It was light that men can walk with, or he's going to train men to come into life. So you first have light, then you come into life. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. We'll come into all these areas. Now look at it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for what? A witness. To bear witness to what? To the light, that all men through him might what? Believe. Can we say amen? Amen. He was not that light. Okay? John was also a kind of light. John 5 referred to John as what? A shining and what? Burning and shining light. John himself was a kind of everlasting light. But John had the everlasting light of the present. Jesus had the everlasting light of the world to come. So when they say somebody has a burning and shining light, it means it's everlasting light. Burning and shining. First light. Last light. Urim and Tumim. Actually, the word burning. When I checked the word burning, I used to think that it was Christ's light. Later I knew that they were all everlasting lights. Urim is from the word all. All means born. Tumim is what? Shining light. So John had both. That's why he was the greatest of men. Nobody rose as John. He never did one miracle. He never did one miracle. The only man that raised higher than John was Adam himself. There was none born of women that had risen higher than John. You know, this generation, you cannot relate with John as the man that had the greatest judgment after Adam. Because as far as you're concerned, if you're a great man, you must do miracles. Now, I'm not playing down the miraculous. I'm only showing you what Jesus said. The reason why John rose high was because of light. He had judgment. So, like Reverend Busui was teaching us, John was a reigning throne. Oh. That man, John, had a throne. He was reigning to a measure. It means that ordinarily you cannot even declare Jesus without being a kind of light. For you to tell people that this is the Lamb of God. For many years, I thought it was just Bible statement. It was not statement.
For a man to talk that Jesus was a lamp, it means that he had judgment. He had both what? Urim and Tumim. And Jesus said, none of all that was born of women, none had risen as high as this man, John. Can we say amen? Amen? So what they used to measure stature of men is judgment. What they used to measure stature of men is life. Everybody say life. So Urim and Tumim, their lives, they are the full lives of the empty everlasting dominion. And John had it. God has had many everlasting men in several types on the earth. He wants the real ones to come. Can we say amen? Ever say everlasting men of the world to come? Come on, say that. Say everlasting men of the world to come. God has been waiting for them. Can we say amen? God has been waiting for them. So, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. Let's just read down. That was the true light. Look at that. That was the true light. True light. True light. So the true light is the light of the true God. And that was what Jesus came to bring to man. That's all. Jesus came to introduce a light that can make you carry God's life. Can we say amen? God's uncorruptible life. Jesus was an heralder of that light. Meaning that Jesus came to make you a star. Oh, you know what they say? Amen to that. Now when I say star, you know, I'm not talking about the sense of stardom in the fallen world. A star is an entity of reigning. He's a being of influence and government. He's a manifestation of life. So the apostolic ministry of Jesus is to raise sons that will be stars. So that was not the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. You know, I looked at this statement for a very long time, this verse 9. Look at it. The true light is the light that lighted every man. Have you ever thought about it? Every light that comes into this world, they use this true light to patent you. Oh, you didn't get that. Pastor Max, sir, this true light is the original light for man. Your destiny as a man is to know the true God. If you don't end up knowing the true God, you have failed. That is functioning beneath your potential. Your original potential is that you were patented with the true light. So meaning every man that was coming to this world, inside him is a software that the true God put inside. Because the true God is the creator. If he's the creator of the earth, in the heavens, and he's also the creator of what? Of man. So what the true God used to patent man is this true light. So meaning that no wonder nothing can satisfy you except the knowledge of the what? True God. The soul has capacity to know the true God. Because when you were born, they used that light to run you. In the factory of creating man. That was the light. Dun, 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 zoom, zoom, zoom. It was the light that went through your soul. When you knew nothing. It was the light that went through your soul. So you are naturally wired on your inside to carry the image of the true God. That's why nothing can satisfy any man. So, nothing can satisfy man. Let him go outside of Mars, explore new planets. He will always feel a void on the inside. Man is trying to explore the world of stars, but he does not understand that the real star is the one that is called to be the star. He's supposed to be the star of the true God. Amen. Who is the father of lights. You see, those lights, they are star makers. Those are the gifts of God. When you come to God, what he has is ability to make you a star. Wire you on your inside and tamper with laws that will begin to put works in you. When they say they are putting works in you, they are putting structures in you. You know, they are constructing things in you that are formidable. Can we say amen? Because you must carry life that will reign. So that was a true light, which lighted every man that came into the world. Think of all the men that came through this world, even the bad ones. This light was the one ran through their soul. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now look at verse. Take me down to verse 10. Is it the last verse? He was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. You can't know him except you are helped. To even know the true God, you need the light of Christ. Because the purpose of Christ's light is to raise you from dust. Man is not just dust. Like Pastor Tosin taught us, man is grass. All flesh is grass. The state of man. So that man has a destiny with the true God. He cannot understand him. He is not the man in Genesis. You see, the man, when it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, those men were Adams. That's you. Those are the original men that God made. So we don't have men anymore. So the purpose of Christ's light is to make you a man. That's what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 13. The purpose of the light of Christ is to bring us back to a place where beginning of manhood. Christ is the beginning of what? Manhood. What are men? Men that can comprehend the true light. So you now see that we have a lot of work to do. Amen. Glory to God. So he was in the world and the world what? Did not know him. You can't know him except you are taught. By Christ. Christ is empowerment to know the true God. Christ's light is empowerment to know the true light. Can we say amen? He was in the world and the world did not know him. Verse 10, let me finish up. The world was with him, but the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But this is where I'm going. But as many as received him, look at that. He gave them what? Power. Everybody say, light is for power. Light is an empowerment for life. Actually, amen. Light is empowerment to come into life. He gave them power. Life is nature. Light is energy. The way the Lord painted. So you need energy to acquire nature. You need energy to acquire nature. So he gave them power to become sons of God. Sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on. Not just believe him. Believe what? On his name. So that's a walk. To believe on his name is to believe what? His works. Hallelujah. So those that believe on his name, and they are empowered to become sons of God. Because believing on his name is to believe his works. You can't believe on his name without believing his works. His works are what makes him up. You see, his name is the crown of his works. His name is the crown of his works. So a star is a name. Pastor Paxa, what I say a star is, it's a name. A star is a name on a walk. So when they make you a star, it's because you have what? You have walks. A star is a seal for a walk. So to become a son of God is to have the walk of the Son of God and the seal of the Son of God. The purpose of that seal, like Reverend Z was teaching us, is to begin to what? Manifest the life. And to begin to reign. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I believe we're in that era. See, these things are not far. They're not far anymore. This year, the Lord told me, he says, make sure your assembly is a full lively stone center. It's a full lively stone center. Make sure they are full lively stone. Because he wants us to be ready for incorruption. Say, make sure. So that's what we have been doing this year. The way the wisdom has been coming for teaching, we have been touching every area. Like, no stone unturned. Because the Lord is coming, oh! It's a season where he wants to give men incorruption. I can tell you, if you ask me, what is heaven doing now on the earth? Heaven wants to raise incorruptible men. Hallelujah! And he's very serious about it. So this company of people, we need to, the Lord wants to quickly move us into that dominion, huh? Where we will be stars of this life. Can we say amen? So this world of the morning star is the world of the morning. The morning of God. It's a morning. And inside that morning, they are new every morning. There are mornings in the morning. Yes. There are mornings in the morning until you come into the abiding nature of the morning. When the morning does not go anymore, it stays. You become an entity of the morning. The Lord wants to give us sense of reigning. Yes, I think that will be communicated clearly in this meeting. It means the Lord wants to give us understand. God wants us to understand life. We don't know. You know, we see life as a thing. God wants you to understand life and the architecture of life. But when we understand life very well, the Lord, I mean, you know, I've thought about it. Has it ever happened to you that you have more knowledge than somebody, but they have more life than you? The thing used to baffle me. You can see somebody that has milk, but you know Christ. But the person has more life because the person has more life of that milk. He has used that milk life well. There was a time that I had an opportunity to, you know, take one of the fathers of faith. I won't mention his name, but you will know him. He's in Ibadan. He's not so, he's popular, but not like that. I took him to a meeting. As at that time, he didn't even have a driver. So I went to his house, took him. It was many years ago, about 10 years ago. I took him to a meeting and then took him back to his house. So when we were coming back, he was still telling us about what happened in the campuses, how they broke into the world of faith and all that. You know, when he was talking, he wasn't just talking. All of a sudden, my car just was clothed in presence. I felt a weight inside the place. I knew Jesus came. So I knew that. I looked at after him and I said, this man has life. So presence follows life. Yeah. So you see, what God wants to give us, you see, thank God, knowledge has been coming to us. It's good. But God is really interested. God wants to teach us how to live. That thing, when you see somebody that has lived milk life well, there's a way they are. Like you were saying, somebody that has milk life will not be afraid that you accident will happen to him. Someone that has used milk life well. Some of our fathers are like that in the body. They used milk. They became Jesuses. Men like Stephen. You will see that when they talk, you know that certain level of authority is backing their words. How much more sons of God? Think about it. I'm just painting something. Look at someone like Baba Adeboye, for instance. That's a life. Look at Bishop Edeko. That's a life. Imagine when we now are sons of God. Imagine. So that is what they want to bring us into. Will we know how to live? You cannot say Bishop is preaching. Bishop is not just preaching, he's living. At a level. So that is where they want to bring us to, where we will now be living. We will be thrones on the earth, bearing witness to the nature of the life of the true God. Can we say amen to that? Amen. May the Lord strengthen our hearts. Amen. May the Lord empower us to journey far. Amen. I said this generation, we will journey far. Amen. We will not miss our blessings. Amen. All the promises of God will be manifested in us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can we begin to thank the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's begin to thank you.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. remain blessed.